Welcome to Hope Unveiled, the podcast that guides you on a transformative journey toward a life-changing relationship with Jesus Christ. We are Sunrise Church of Surrey, British Columbia, Canada, and our mission is to carry the hope and purpose of Jesus to those who may feel far from God. In each episode, we'll dive deep into the teachings of Jesus, offering practical insights and guidance for your faith journey. Whether you're taking your first steps in faith or seeking to deepen your existing relationship with Christ, we invite you to join us on this journey to embrace the hope that transforms lives.
Good morning. How are we doing? You should be awake because I don't need to tell you why, because that announcement video should have jarred you awake. The words I will never repeat again. We're excited. In the month of February, we're starting off a new sermon series. We're going to be going through the spiritual gifts, which we're really excited about. We're going to be talking about what the purpose of the gifts are, how you receive the gifts, what do you do with the gifts, and what a life with the spiritual gifts looks like. And actually, back in the fall, we did our Undivided series, and we were going to have one of our preachers preach on the spiritual gifts, and they decided not to, and that preacher will be left unnamed. It was me, and so now I decided to preach on something else, so now we're doing an entire series on it, so you're welcome. You didn't get one Sunday of it, you got four Sundays of it, so we're going to journey in to discover how the spiritual gifts are a formative part, not just for our spiritual life as individuals, but for the spiritual life of the church, and how the spiritual gifts lead us into spiritual maturity, they lead us into unity, and it leads us further into the revelation and into the power of Jesus, which sounds pretty good to me, if you're asking me. Amen. And it's really fitting because last week, Pastor Chris wrapped up our series on the values of our church, and he preached on the baptism of the Holy Spirit and being led by the Spirit. And I'm going to echo something that he said that I think is just so crucial for us to remember, is that we cannot do anything of lasting value, whether it as people or as followers of Jesus or as the church, without the leading of the Holy Spirit. We can't do anything of lasting value without the empowerment of his Spirit. And the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 4, he says that the kingdom of God is not a matter of speech, but it is of power. And as the church and as followers of Jesus, we're not simply just asked to be followers of the teachings and the doctrines of Jesus, but we're called into the practices and the lifestyle of Jesus. And Jesus demonstrated when he lived on earth a life that was full of authority, whether it was in his proclaiming of the word of God or demonstrating the power of God. His life was backed by the authority of God. And he actually invites us into that same life that is filled with authority, and it's through the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. And in our journey as being Jesus followers, our goal is to become more and more like Jesus. Not just in what we say and what we believe, but in what we do. And in order for us to encounter lasting transformation in our lives and making lasting impact with the gospel in our communities, we need to be led by and we need to be empowered by the Spirit. Amen? So that leads us to this series where we're going to be diving into the spiritual gifts and how they're one of the ways that the Holy Spirit leads us into the spiritual life or spiritual living. And before we dive into our portion of scripture this morning, there's three main portions of scripture that address the spiritual gifts. You can put that slide on the screen. There's, first of all, in 1 Corinthians 12, where we'll be this morning, there's the manifestation gifts, which are demonstrating the power of God. We've got words of wisdom, words of knowledge, faith, healings, miracles, prophecy, discernment of spirits, speaking in tongues, and the discernment or the interpretation of tongues. So those are the manifestation gifts, which reveal the power of God. We've also got the motivational gifts in Romans 12. There's also the gift of prophecy, but there's also serving, teaching, exhortation, giving, leadership, and mercy. And yes, there will be a quiz if you can remember every single one of these at the end of this. These motivational gifts reveal the personality of God. And lastly, we have Ephesians 4, which reveal the ministry gifts, also known as the fivefold ministry or APEST, if you ever heard of those. It's the apostles, the evangelists. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. There's five, Braden. You can remember that. These reveal the plan of God. And these gifts, the ministry gifts, are bestowed on individuals within the church to actually empower the church and lead the church into spiritual maturity. Which leads me, as I was preparing all this, I was just reminded of some things that I've encountered being in Pentecostal or charismatic circles. I grew up attending an ACOP church. That's what fellowship that we're a part of here at Sunrise. It's a Pentecostal church. So I grew up in the same fellowship in a Pentecostal church. I spent most of my life going to Pentecostal Bible camp. Spent a lot of my life attending Pentecostal Christian conferences. And lastly, I went to Pentecostal Bible College. I feel like I should get a Pentecostal award or something for hitting all of the check marks. I just need to go to tent meeting or something now. But I've spent a lot of time in charismatic circles, in charismatic churches, in environments that people operate in the gifts or they operate in the supernatural power of God. And there's sometimes I've encountered some myths of the Spirit in these circles when it comes to the Holy Spirit or the gifts of the Spirit. And I want to talk about one of these myths of the Spirit this morning. And there's sometimes we get caught into this belief that the gifts are the mark of spiritual maturity. That we get caught in this belief that if we operate in the gifts, it proves that we are mature believers. And I don't think I've ever actually heard someone teach this or say this. Maybe I have, I just can't remember. But there's often I've been in environments where this is more of a felt reality. It's not taught, but it's felt. There's almost this corporate or this internal pressure or belief that operating in the gifts proves one's spiritual maturity. And I think in that sentence, it exposes why it's a myth, because it all hangs on proving one's maturity or spiritual maturity. It's in the matter of proving that it's exposed as a myth. And I think that this myth that we can sometimes fall into, it can affect us in two ways, and you can put that up on the screen. I think that this myth of that we need to operate in the gifts to be spiritually mature, it exposes that we can sometimes have an elevated view of self or the gifts, or we can have actually a depreciated view of ourself and the gifts. And I want to dive into that. We can have an elevated view of ourself or the gifts, and it's rooted in pride, where we can believe that we actually have higher value than other believers because maybe they don't operate in the gifts, or maybe we operate in certain gifts that we feel are more crucial or more important. And there's this emphasis more on demonstrating the power of Jesus rather than demonstrating the nature and the character of Jesus. And I'm going to be honest, I've been guilty of this. Like I said, I went to a Pentecostal Bible school, and in Saskatchewan, there's a number of Bible colleges, and we were one of the only Pentecostal colleges. And so there was often this talk amongst us as students. We thought that we were better than other college students or at different colleges because we were Pentecostal. We were baptized in the Spirit. Or even within ourselves, in our college, we did a really good job at seeking the power of God, and we were maybe not as good as demonstrating the character and the love and the patience of God with one another. And it can get caught up in this pride that we can sometimes fall into. then moving to a depreciated view of ourself or the gifts. Sometimes we might just think that the gifts, there's no need for them. But then also we can fall into this reality where our shame, we encounter shame because we don't operate in the gifts, or there's certain gifts that we don't see in our own lives. And there's this belief that maybe if I don't speak in tongues, or maybe if I pray for someone and they don't get healed, if that doesn't happen, then clearly something is wrong with me, because I've been taught that the Spirit is willing, which the Spirit is, but there can sometimes be this shame that comes because we look inward and think that something is wrong with us. We feel judged, we feel condemned, and we can sometimes, because of that shame, we can disregard the gifts because it's actually a source of pain in our own lives. And I've seen this time and time again where, especially with the gift of tongues, where people are so earnestly desiring the gift of tongues, and other people who do view them as a project, that it's, oh, I'm gonna pray so that this person can speak in tongues. So you see this mash of someone's pride and someone's shame meeting in this moment. But I feel that God is actually gonna address this in the word this morning. And today we're gonna be looking at 1 Corinthians 12 to see how this myth regarding the gifts and spiritual maturity, it actually affected the church in Corinth. And we're gonna see how Paul addresses this issue and he reveals what the true sign of spiritual maturity is. And just a disclaimer, we're gonna be looking at the overall purpose of the gifts. We're not gonna get into the nitty-gritty details of what each gift is. I'm starting this series, so I'm just gonna go my own way and then the next three people can just pick up all the pieces that I just leave. So you're welcome, Andrea, next week. Good luck. I hope you're taking lots of notes of what I don't touch on. But I also wanna say, if you're unfamiliar with the spiritual gifts, maybe this is all new to you, I invite you, come and speak with the members on our ministry team, or hang around for the next three Sundays while they do cleanup on my sermon from this week. But let's turn to the book of 1 Corinthians. First Corinthians is in the New Testament. It's written by the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul spent about 18 months with his people establishing this church. He's now at this point left, and he's writing back to this church because there's problems. There's lots of problems. And I just want to point out that what's interesting about when we talk about the spiritual gifts is we sometimes forget that Paul doesn't just bring a systematic framework for us saying, this is how you use the gifts, or this is how you receive the gifts. He doesn't create an exhaustive list for us to say, this is every single spiritual gift and this is when it's appropriate to use it or how to use it. He doesn't give that because he's addressing the gifts in this situation because there's problems. There's real problems because there's real people in a real church in a real time. And I think it's important for us to remember that as we approach this text this morning. And we see that Paul writes to instruct, he writes to correct and encourage these believers in Corinth because there are so many issues at hand. If you've ever read 1 Corinthians, you just scratch your head and you're like, why didn't Paul just shut this church down? There's division, there's blatant sexual immorality that even the unbelievers would think is heinous. There's misunderstanding of their Christian freedom. They're misusing the gifts. There's disorder in their worship gatherings, as well as concerns regarding marriage and singleness and the resurrection. There's just thing after thing after thing. But let's approach the word this morning. And if you're willing and if you're able, I'm gonna invite you to stand as we read God's word this morning. So Jesus, we thank you that your word is alive and active, and even though this was written in 50 AD, it still speaks to us today. We thank you that there is authority in your word, and we invite your Spirit to speak and bring your word alive in our own hearts. So we just quiet ourselves in this moment. The concerns of our life, the things that want to bombard our mind in this time, we invite you in, Holy Spirit, to speak to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, what a welcome, welcoming statement that Paul says to his fellow brothers. You know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to mute idols, however you were led. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking of the Spirit of God ever says Jesus is accursed. And no one can say Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit. Now, there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are varieties of service, but the same Lord. There are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom. To another, the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the one Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, the ability to distinguish between spirits and to various kinds of tongues. And to another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit, who apportions to each one individually as he wills. Amen. It's the word of the Lord. You may take a seat. So I talked a little bit about the context of what is happening in this church, but even a little bit further, as Paul graciously reminds them that they were once pagans, this church is built upon a lot of people who were Gentiles that came from pagan religions. And within these religions, there was this belief that if you were especially close to divine beings, that you were given a special spiritual endowment or a special spiritual gift. And this often looked like a static behavior or a static speech. So these spiritual people would be overcome by a static behavior and speech that they couldn't control. And their enthusiasm was often a mark of them being spiritual people. So this is in the background of their, before Christ, this is what they believed. Then Paul comes, he teaches the gospel, they get saved. They're part of this church, but this mindset and this practice is still prevalent in their gatherings. That in the midst of their services, there's people bursting out in tongues without interpretation. And this is obviously an interruption, but it also caused division within the people because of a misunderstanding of the purposes that God gives the spiritual gifts, especially the gift of tongues. So let's look a little bit closer. If you want to bring the scripture back up, we're going to look a little bit closer into what Paul is getting at in their context. Paul begins by commending the believers to discern the source of their ecstatic outbursts in their gatherings. Is this of the Spirit of God, or is this influenced by evil spirits? And Paul points out a very crucial truth of the role of the Holy Spirit in verse 3. He says, no one can say Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit. And this crucial truth reminds us that the Holy Spirit will always reveal and elevate Christ. Jesus himself in John 15 and John 16, he's teaching his disciples that he's soon sending the Helper, the Holy Spirit. And the role of the Holy Spirit is to, as the Spirit of truth, bear witness about him. And then in John 16, it says that the Spirit will glorify Jesus. Every manifestation of the Spirit will elevate and glorify Jesus, no one else. I believe that the Spirit honors people, but the Spirit alone will only ever truly glorify one person, and that person is Jesus. But here in Corinth, we see the exact opposite is happening, that there's these manifestations are being misused to elevate themselves in the midst of others. In continuation of this, we see in verses 4 and 7 that Paul states that there's a variety of gifts. He says there's a variety of service and activities that come with the Holy Spirit. And no matter how diverse they may be, it is for all people and for the common people. Or I said that wrong. Let's time out here. No matter how diverse the gifts are, it's for all people and it's for the common good of the church, for all the people in the church. I'm getting confirmation here that I'm reading my notes right. And all of this is rooted in the unity of the Spirit. What's very interesting is I pointed out the three main portions of Scripture that touch on the gifts of the Spirit. If you go and read those, what is surrounding those texts on the gifts of the Spirit? Unity in the body, unity in the body, unity in the body. It's all about unity. And what's interesting here is that we see that there's a variety of gifts, and it's attributed to the Spirit of God. There are varieties of service, which is attributed to Jesus, who is Lord. And there's a variety of spiritual activities, which is attributed to God the Father. So there's this picture in this text that our God is unified as a Trinity who lives in perfect unity with himself. And he gives us spiritual gifts, service, and activities to unify us as a church, just as he is unified. So it's a beautiful picture that anything from the Spirit should lead us into unity. And I want to point out even just in the last verse here, in verse 7, it says that to each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. And if you're like me and you've watched too much Hollywood movies, the word manifestation is a bit of a stumbling block. Your mind goes instantly to somewhere else. But this word manifestation can be translated into the outward evidence. And I think when we read it as to each is given the outward evidence of the Spirit, it is for the common good. I feel like it's so much easier for us to grapple with that and understand what Paul is equipping us as the believers of the church. And lastly, moving into verses 8 through 11, there's a list of 9 spiritual gifts. As I mentioned before, Paul isn't, he's likely not just giving an exhaustive list of this is all the gifts of the Spirit, but he's pointing out the gifts that are prevalent probably in this gathering that are already being used. So with all of this context, with all of this understanding of what's happening in 50 AD in this church in Corinth, Paul is writing to this group of believers to confront their wrong perception and practice of what they value as the markers of the spiritual life. As we said, they placed their value in ecstatic, unintelligible speech because it elevated themselves in the eyes of others. Rather than benefiting others or bringing glory to Jesus, their focus turned inwards to benefit themselves. Paul confronts this misuse of the gifts and improper belief by stating that the purpose of the gifts is not for personal gain, but to reveal Christ for the common good. This is the litmus test to discern if the gifts are being held in proper practice. They will always reveal Christ for the common good. And I believe that through the gifts, the revealing of Christ happens in two ways. If you want to bring up that slide, there's two ways that the Spirit operates through the spiritual gifts in order to bring us into maturity. And the first is, sorry, I'm waiting for this slide. There's two ways. The first is that it reveals who Christ is. Still not the right slide, but we're getting there slowly, slowly. Thank you. There's two ways. Sorry, I don't know why I got stuck on this. This is like, I need a drink of water to get me through this. There's two ways that we're led into spiritual maturity, and it's through revealing who Christ is. Wow. I just need a timeout. I need someone to... this has never happened to me. This is great. The Lord is just humbling me in this moment. Thank you. That's all I needed. Thank you. Thank you. So the gifts revealed let's just stick to the script. The gifts reveal Christ for the common good. This happens two ways to us. Firstly, by revealing who Christ is. As simple as that. By revealing the plan of God, by revealing the personality of God, and by revealing the power of God. Thank you. Someone is reading my notes for me. So that's very simple. The gifts should reveal who Christ is. But then also, which sometimes we don't recognize, is that it reveals who we are in Christ. There's this dual purpose. Maybe I didn't throw the slide in. I'm sorry, guys. I'm giving you a hard time, and it's probably my fault. With this in mind, we are able to address the myth that the gifts are the mark of the spiritual maturity. Operating the gifts in itself is not the marker of spiritual maturity. But the mark of true spiritual maturity is being rooted in knowing who Jesus is and who we are in him. And that's what the gifts should do. They should reveal who Jesus is and reveal who we are in him. The evidence of the spiritual life and maturity is not in our activity, but it is in our identity. The evidence of the spiritual life is not in our activity, but it is in our identity. And this is where I believe we can start to apply the things that Paul is addressing in Corinth to our current context and our current cultural moment. One of the tensions that we often face as followers of Jesus is that rather than letting our identity inform our activity, we get it backwards. We often believe that our activity, our spiritual activity, informs who we are and our identity. We often think that we gain our value by proving ourselves through our accomplishing of Christ-like activities or even operating in the spiritual gifts. We are quick to forget that our value doesn't come from our spiritual activity or spiritual accomplishments, but it is by the activity and the accomplishments of Christ, Christ's work upon the cross. It's only when we're rooted in Christ's activity, Christ's work, and Christ's accomplishment that we are able to accomplish anything of lasting value. The spiritual life is not something that we strive to achieve, but it is something that we've already received as our inheritance as children of God. We have Ephesians 1:3 on the screen, which is a verse I have to keep coming back to time and time again when I am tempted to fall into this mindset that I have to prove myself. He says that we are blessed in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. We need to remember this. That before we do anything, that we are blessed with every spiritual blessing. It's when we're rooted in this truth by the revelation of Christ and who we are in Christ that we are able to use the spiritual gifts to benefit others for the sake of the common good of the church. That leads us into spiritual maturity. That leads us into unity. That will lead us into the revelation of who Jesus is and the power of Jesus. The gifts will reveal Christ for the common good. I'm going to invite our worship team up. And at this time, I'm going to invite our prayer teams up as well. We're going to have a time where we're going to reflect on the word. But if you want to receive prayer this morning, there'll be people that would love to pray with you. And where I sense that the Spirit and the Word is leading us today is to address how maybe we have wrongly perceived ourselves or maybe how we've wrongly perceived the gifts. There's sometimes where we have a depreciated view of ourselves or a depreciated view of the gifts. And I've been there time and time again. Where shame or fear or insecurity has hindered us from being obedient to the gentle leading of the Holy Spirit. Where the Holy Spirit is leading us into obedience or to step out in faith, we've let our shame dictate how we respond. Maybe you've neglected the gifts altogether, and maybe you feel like you've lost sight of their purpose for the church today. Or maybe you've been hurt by the misuse of the gifts. How many people do I know that the misuse of the gifts has actually caused pain and hurt? You guys can play. And if that's you this morning, if you've ever encountered pain or judgment where you've been made to feel lesser than by people, I'm sorry that that's happened to you. And Jesus wants to bring healing and restoration in that area in your life. I'm going to invite you to stand. Maybe the opposite. Maybe this morning you feel like you've had an elevated view of self. Maybe the Holy Spirit's convicting this morning, or an elevated view of the gifts where pride has actually hindered you from being able to love people, where your focus has been maybe how you're perceived by others rather than how Christ perceives you. Maybe you've pursued the evidence of the Spirit through the gifts rather than pursuing Jesus himself, whom the Spirit reveals. And if any of those things resonate with you this morning, I want to let you know that I have good news for you. That through the love and the work of Jesus, through repentance and faith in Jesus, we find forgiveness. That we find the presence of Jesus so eagerly wanting to meet with us and to restore us. Jesus wants to restore what's been lost and broken within you. And when it comes to the spiritual gifts, there's good news. The gifts are for revealing Christ, and you have nothing to prove. Your maturity as a follower of Jesus isn't determined by proving yourself through your activity, but through your willingness and obedience to be led by the Spirit into the ways of Jesus. In saying all this, this isn't an excuse to neglect the gifts or not to operate in the gifts, or ignore the promptings of the Holy Spirit. For Paul the Apostle commends us to earnestly desire the gifts for the sake of loving, building, and edifying the church, but most important, to bring glory to Jesus. So this morning we're gonna enter back into a time of worship, but I invite you, as the Word has spoken to us, to invite the Holy Spirit to speak to you this morning. And if there's a response that the Spirit is urging from you, take a step of faith. Maybe you need prayer this morning. Maybe you just need to release some things to God. Maybe you just need to ask for Christ to reveal who he is and who you are in him. In all of this, let's remember that the gifts are to reveal Christ for the common good. So let's bring praise, let's bring glory to the one who is worthy of our praise this morning. Let's worship together.
Thank you for listening to Hope Unveiled. If you're interested in learning more about what you heard today, or if you would like us to pray for something specific for you, we invite you to connect with us on our website, sunrise.ca.